If you don't take risk, you're not going to make it for yourself. So I think risk reward absolutely goes hand in hand. But property will, as compared to any other asset class, I still feel that it is one of the safest things that you can do in Australia.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today, I'm joined by Anubhav Agarwal, founder of Find My Real Estate. Anu's story began in India, where he bought his first commercial property at just 18 years of age. He later moved to Melbourne to pursue a master's in engineering and went on to spend over a decade in senior IT and consulting roles with global firms. But his real passion was always in real estate. And in 2019, he took the leap to start a business called Find My Real Estate with a mission to help everyday Australians build wealth and create what he calls early modern retirement, which is the ability to design a life of your choice and with freedom rather than being tied to your work forever. Anubhav is not just about property though. He is passionate about education, mentorship, and creating real impact in people's lives, which is why we have him on the show today. In this episode, we are going to explore his journey, the challenges of building a national business, insights into the property market, and I'm going to get his advice for anybody who is looking to invest or buy their next real estate. Anubhav, welcome. It's so good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for such a lovely introduction, Phoebe. And it is absolutely a pleasure to be here today, being interviewed by you.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you. I'm really looking forward to diving into this conversation today because I feel there are so many people that are talking about property and how hard it is to get into the market and how tough things are. And there's so much negativity, especially in the media, where they're talking about how difficult it is for people to crack into the property market and all of this info that seems a bit overwhelming for some people or a bit negative and not so hopeful. And I feel like today we're going to have a more of a positive spin and a good touch to this industry. And you're going to give us some advice and some guidance, practical tips, but also just make it a little bit more easy for people to understand as well, for those that aren't yet in the property game. So I wanted to start by finding out what was it that drew you firstly into property and what made you to decide to build a national business called Find My Real Estate?
Yes, thank you for the question. So Phoebe, basically, I hear from a business family and I've seen lots of property in my family whilst I've been growing up. So, you know, they say your education starts the day you're born and your environment that you actually are growing up. So I found myself to be very lucky in that scenario that I had family who always looked at, you know, wealth, property, and of course, businesses. And that continued to inspire, obviously, to look at the things the right way. And just when I turned 18, I was handed down a property in my family to me, which was a commercial property. And I could see the magic happen from the very first day. Because when you attach yourself and belong yourself to something that is yours, it automatically starts to steer your mind towards that because the feeling of belonging is big, right? And when it starts to make money from the very first day, being a commercial property, you know it's very real, right? You can't go broke making money. That's how it is, right? And of course, we are in the world which is all AI now driven, and there's so much technology around us, so much media around us. It's very easy to get confused with a lot of these things, right? That wasn't the case 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, where you know, you're relying on your friends and family. Today, on a touch of a button, you've got everything. In fact, you don't even have to press anything anymore. Your thoughts can be read through Google very well, and you've got the next day you wake up in the morning and you know you've got things in front of you. So for me, when I was trying to run my journey through this whole space, I found that property is something which, one, I like it because obviously it's the great wealth building vehicle. Second, when I came to Australia in 2003 and I came here to do my pursue my master's here in engineering, I actually realized that what was big in Australia, apart from obviously a service industry, was property, essentially, right? And I found that a lot of people, as we more migrants were coming in the very first decade since I was here, from 2003 to about, I think, GFC, and so after GFC, we saw a lot of migration in Australia. And everybody wants property. So properties have skyrocketed since then. The prices have gone off the roof. And I saw that as the only possible way to be able to be linked with property. And whilst I was in my career with a global organization, I thoroughly enjoyed that career. I found that I needed something of my own. I don't want to run the rat race. I want something that I'm passionate about, something that I'm not looking at the watch 9-to-5 thing, and something that I can work even maybe 48 hours in a day, but I don't feel tired. So I needed something that I feel and I believe that it's the right thing that I can help someone, because coming from a consulting background, you know, we're all about solution focus. We're all about trying to help people and educate people alongside. And I think that natural charisma to be able to give back to the community that I have, I couldn't have done that other than the business I currently run over the last nearly 7 years now. So for me, the answer was property. I just didn't know what to do within property that I could help others with. I did explore being a real estate agent, but I don't want to get into that position because I couldn't use my skill set the right way. I couldn't stand there and sell property at the highest price point. I'm a solution focused guy, so I wanted something that I can nurture people with and actually guide them and bring them to the position that they can achieve wealth for themselves. So that's how it all sort of started back in 2019 or even 18 for that matter, when my mind was all boggling around. Which franchises should I take? Should I open a bottle shop? Should I open, you know, maybe a milk shop? It just didn't make sense to me because all of those businesses, great, they make money, but my mojo would be lost, right? I just needed to be in a space where I'm helping people and I can actually give back. So the concept just came around that time, I think, with people trying to obviously talk about buyer agency. And then I found a mentor who was also, he's now even currently educating a lot of people around how to be a buyer's agent. When I saw that and I said, okay, this is awesome, because if I was to get on this train, I think I already have so much knowledge and experience, and I've built so much network through property learnings that I've done throughout these years, that I can utilize this as a platform to launch my business, right? And that's exactly what just happened, and we haven't looked back. So, I mean, every day, if you ask me, touch wood, it was really good that I was lying down lazy on a lazy afternoon just around Christmas time frame in 2018. And I was just browsing my Facebook and this gentleman popped up and said, why don't you become a buyer's agent? I'm like, what the hell was buyer's agent? And then I just explored a little bit more about it. It was a completely blue ocean. You know, it was just something that it was just waiting for the things to happen for me. And touch wood, the opportunity came and we've just grabbed it. So that's how it all started.
That's such an amazing story. And I really love the way you see an opportunity and you grab the bull by its horn. I think that not everybody necessarily sees that vision and goes for it and takes it all the way to running a business like you have and creating your own financial freedom. And I really, really love that. I think that's so inspiring and encouraging as well. So it sounds like your family definitely had a contribution as well to play a part in the way you are not only entrepreneurial, but you're also, by the sounds of it, a good investor. And I wanted to talk about investments today because I also come from a family where they educated me around investing and just being wise with my money from a young age. I'm very blessed that culturally that's the way we are. And I wanted to hear, would you consider yourself firstly a risk taker, or what kind of an investor would you call yourself firstly?
I think the appetite for taking risk changes as your wealth is being built through. And it all comes down to where you are in your journey. At the beginning, I didn't have much risk appetite to lose any dollar at all. So it's very, very tiny. But because of the entrepreneurial mindset and that upbringing, I knew that if you don't take risk, you're not going to make it for yourself. So I think risk reward absolutely goes hand in hand. But property, as compared to any other asset class, I still feel that it is one of the safest things that you can do in Australia. And therefore, it was a no-brainer to get into property as one of the investment vehicles and possibly park most of your money and your wealth through property. So that was my choice, although I'm quite diversified into other assets, asset classes as well. Yet property is my central point to everything that I do. So my risk appetite now is extremely high. I could buy property for me in 10 minutes without even looking at it.
Wow.
That's how I buy properties for myself. And I'll give you a story of this. My house and where my office is, we're about 10 minutes apart, really, to be very honest. So just about 2 years ago, I bought one property only for $315,000 for myself. And that was in Victoria. Now, the agent called me, said it's an off market. And I said, okay, well, give me some more information about it. By the time we talked about it, I understood, I knew the area really well. So I drove off my driveway and just to come to the office. So from that point till reaching my office garage, I asked her about 10 questions, and then we negotiated the price down to 245, essentially what was selling for 315. And pretty much by the time I landed my office, I've already purchased the property for 245 on a 600 plus square meter block, tenanted property. What else would you want?
That is so amazing. I love that. I feel like when it comes to property, there's a lot of fear, and people, even when they know all the numbers stack up in their favor, they still don't take action anymore. And a lot of people have now this mindset that, oh, land tax is too much, or we don't know what's going to happen, politics, war, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that?
I think media is one thing and it'll keep playing the way it is. What you have to really understand when it comes to property, really, it's a long-term game, right? There'll always be an event which is not in your control throughout this journey. But long term, it pays off anyway if you're in the right area at the right time and buying the right type of property in that area as well. So therefore, if you've got the fundamentals right of the buying process, essentially, the rest of the things will come and go, right? Now, we're talking high land tax right now in Victoria, but that's not the case in other states, for example. So there's always options in other states because we are national, we buy all over Australia. There's always ways to make money, right? And there's always opportunities lying around. Now, suddenly what's happened is the last 3 years, we've seen properties were skyrocketing in other states, for example, Perth, Adelaide, and Queensland, and people made significant amount of money. Clients have seen 30, 40, 50% growth when Victoria hasn't moved an inch over the last 3 years, right? But now those areas have gone up so much that now suddenly Melbourne seems to feel like it's affordable and rents are good now. So, you know, even though land tax exists even today, which was the case 3 years ago, when you do all your numbers together, if it's for investment purposes, it's still sort of making a lot more sense to invest now back in Victoria. So to me, it's a point in time. Things change and there will always be cycles. There will always be surprises. There will always be government intervention into things. But that shouldn't stop someone in taking action, because if you did not take action, the cost of not taking action is even more bigger and denting than taking action at a point in time.
That is so true. I absolutely agree. And I've heard people say that over the years. It's that opportunity cost that is missed. And yes. I also believe that if you invest in the wrong type of thing and you don't exit when you should, there is also that lost opportunity cost, because you could exit when perhaps at the start of it going downhill rather than waiting and just cut your losses, reinvest in something else, and just watch that make up for the loss for exiting early.
And I've got clear examples of that. When interest rates were going up, now they're starting to come down. But when interest rates were going up only just the last 2 years, many people did not invest because they're controlled by fear and what the market is talking about or what the media is talking about. But those who actually took action and were able to seize the opportunity, they've made most of the money in these 2 years. And that was also true during the COVID time as well. Right? We're now at a point where interest rates are coming down, and this is the third rate cut in this year. We've been predicting rate cuts for nearly the last 30 times now. And touch wood, we've come out on the money pretty much. And even this one that I predicted would happen in August, it actually has happened. What that only means that every time, cyclically, if you go and see when interest rates go down, there's more money, there's more borrowing possible. So people will jump in to buy more properties. And astute investors will definitely see this differently. And they want to take the action straight away. Right? Whilst others will still be sitting on the fence, waiting for the right time. But there is no right time in property. It was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, right? So if you broadly look at it from a holistic view and be guided by the right people who can help you, give you confidence and actually mitigate the risks for you along the way, I think that's what people need nowadays, with so much noise all around them. whether it's friends, family, or media, or even for that matter, the social media that we are all surrounded by every single day.
100%. I totally agree. And I want to break that myth. Some people say it's too late. It's too late to enter the market. I'd love to hear, do you think that it's true that it is too late for some people, that maybe the places where people want to live in Melbourne are too expensive? Maybe Queensland has already like peaked so much and Perth is the same.
I think it's very relative to a personal situation, but I would say it's never too late. And there's always a strategy around what you want to achieve. For example, a lot of people might be sitting with a hugely negatively geared portfolio if it's investment, but then people think, okay, I can't borrow more money and I cannot get to another property because one, it's either become too expensive or I just can't afford it. But, people haven't even explored commercial side of the activities, for example. People haven't explored how I could buy a property for Airbnb that can actually turn around the cash flow for them overnight, right? So there is always opportunities and people don't look deep dive into their existing portfolio. What else can I achieve from my existing properties and whether I should even hold them anymore, right? So that's one part. Secondly, for home buyers mainly, again, it's very relative to the incomes. But if you talk to someone in Sydney, for example, and or anywhere in Sydney, you're talking 1.3, 1.4 million minimum, 40, 50, 60 kilometers outside Sydney to buy something, which is a house on a 200 to 50 square meter block, right? And that's 1.3, 1.4 million. Now, if you look at the family income for those people, 60% of disposable income goes into just, you know, paying off the mortgage, essentially, right? So you're living off with the remaining 40%. It's not much, right? And at the end of the year, even though a family would actually earn in a good incomes, when I'm talking about, let's say, IT clients or even for that matter, doctors, and they're earning over 400, 500K as a family income, at the end of the year, they only save $50,000, $60,000 a year because of so much expenses, living costs, the cost of living has gone up. But when they look at Melbourne, for example, for them, buying something $800,000 house on a 600 square meter block in the outskirts of Melbourne is absolutely cheap, right? So it's very relative. Would you buy a 1.3 million or would you buy 800K? Right. So if you think of that way, it makes a lot of sense that, okay, relatively, I'm okay to move to another city if I can't afford it and if I really want my house and emotional about it. But then reinvesting is always an option, right? 60-70% people that I understand, at least from a client group that we understand from New South Wales, most of them are doing reinvesting. They want to build wealth. They don't care where they live, it's their house or not. As long as they're living comfortably, they're okay. The children are going to great schools, good schools. That's what people usually care about, right? But then there are first home buyers who are very, very emotional. I have clients who have waited to buy their home for 3 years, 4 years, and haven't done anything, whilst their friends and family have had this wealth growth for themselves, you know, while doing reinvesting and smartly investing that money, which hasn't happened for them. And then you suddenly feel that, you know, you've gone behind in time, right? So if you, and the problem is people don't have the right guidance. Who is going to be that person professionally that I can rely on, talk to them openly, and who can guide me to build this wealth the right way? And that's where I think we are coming in to say anyone can buy the property, but then what is right for you at what point in time? Who can actually hold your hand? Everyone needs a mentor. How do you get to that point? How do you build that wealth? Which properties to buy, where to buy, when to buy? What strategies to use in short term, long term? If you have answers to all that, then you're a guru already. But if not, and you're struggling with that, with already being time poor, then you need help. It's as simple as that.
I think that it's really important to have a plan. I've always looked at, for example, property and gone, that's something that no matter what happens, if I have a year where I have to take time off work, off my business, as long as I've got that secure piece of land or property or rental income, then I can afford to take that time off or travel more or follow my heart and do the things that are right for me. So yeah, that's kind of how I operate.
Exactly. And most people would do it that way because you would see your immediate thing. What am I buying now that can actually help me get, you know, give me that a bit more comfort around my financial freedom? But there is a long-term vision to it. Like whatever money you make today from your business, jobs, whatever people do, that's the first thing people want to replace, right? But if people don't have a place of or an option how to replace that, if you don't know how how to actually get there, either through property or other means, then you need help, right? Financial planners exist. You know, you've got accountants, you've got brokers, they do their own job. But when it comes to property, you know, you don't have anyone professionally in the market that you can just go simply to and say, hey, you know what, build me a plan that's going to give me that sort of replace my income in 10 years. That doesn't work. It doesn't exist. So you need someone expert. And I'm sure if you were to get that expertise alongside, and really someone can dive into your situation and say, Phoebe, you know what, this is how you, based on your risk appetite, this is how you can build your plan around property and get yourself in a position in 10 years time comfortably if you were to do XYZ, for example. And these are different options you might have.
I think that that's definitely something that I personally would take up, because I hugely believe in mentorship and being guided by people that know what they're doing, and being able to be guided by someone that understands your risk tolerance. You know, me being in my 30s, you know, I do have a higher risk tolerance than, say, my parents. And, you know, that's just natural. You know, for someone that is close to retirement, they're not going to be investing in shares. They're going to be making sure that by the time they retire, they've paid off all their properties and they can just live very comfortably off rental income. Whereas someone in like their 30s, for example, might have a portfolio that's a combination of property and shares or something else, or maybe even Bitcoin, who knows? Yeah, I'm definitely one to like dabble into things and give things a try, you know, whether it's property or shares or NFCs. You know, I've dabbled in all of those things. Some of those have come with lessons that some could say were painful. I would just say that they were expensive. I'd love to hear, what are your thoughts on that? When have you made a mistake and what did you learn from that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, we all have learned the trade, whatever we are into, through obviously making mistakes. And for me, buying a wrong property or buying land and house package style type of property in too much oversupply areas was definitely a wrong decision to make. It's very easy to look at a marketing brochures and, you know, you're going to make X money, that's coming, a station will come, that will happen. It gets, you know, those marketeers out there can actually really get you. All you need to do is pay $1,000 and you can block your land here. And, you know, after 3 years, you start building and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's not bad. But what I'm saying is that it's not for everyone. And I found myself that I could actually, if I did my education the right way, I understood properly the right way, I could have fast tracked my journey a lot more better than actually listening to, you know, people who are marketeers out there. That was my first mistake when I came in this country, because we all think through the way we think and the way how you've been brought up. So strategies that work in India, for example, where I'm from, to the way the strategies should work in Australia, they're completely different, right? So I made mistakes. I got educated in property the right way. I'm still part of the education company. And that has built a lot of network for us. And therefore, we sit at an expert position now, because now we don't only have education, we've got knowledge, experience. We've helped clients from age group of 18 all the way up to 70. We've done more than 600 clients in short 6.5 years. So we get the idea of what people need, want, and then how to actually maneuver them in the right direction so they can actually build wealth for themselves.
That's fantastic. And it must be so fulfilling to see your clients be able to do things that they couldn't do before and be free from that rat race.
100%. I've got someone in my team who actually went and bought a townhouse style of property. Did not make money for 5-6 years. And when I had bought a property for $160,000 back in 2020, a 4-bedroom house on a 600 square meter block, and that property has doubled in 4 years, right? Whereas his property that he built land and then built up did not move much. And he sold that property now, just probably broke even at it, but did not make money out of that. And now he's part of my team. So a few of my clients actually joined me in my team as well to help others, because they realized the benefit the property can do for people. And they've seen burning their fingers and hands, and they now know that by actually joining the right team, they can help others and really inspire others to get on the journey the right way.
That's amazing. Congratulations to your clients for being able to do that. I'd love to know, like, I want to talk about the first home buyers for a moment and just move to the, maybe it's the Gen Zs or the millennials, the late millennials. And perhaps they have been saving up really hard. They've got that 20%. They have really done a lot of giving up that whole lifestyle that they were used to and sacrificing, most importantly, to be able to crack into that first home. What's the next step for them? If they know where they want to buy, or perhaps maybe they don't even know where they want to buy, let's talk about that. Like, what would be the first step for these first home buyers who are saving up really hard right now?
Yeah, I think for the first home buyers, I would say probably get yourself, understand what grants are available in your state that you are going to be buying your property in. Understand those grants both at federal and state level, so you actually know how much money you really need, apart from the help that's already available. I think government has made it very easy nowadays to be able to get into your first home, especially if it is well priced around $650,000 type properties. In Melbourne, for example, then there's still options for people to get into that. Like you said, 20% saving, it's not easy for everyone to do that. It has taken them maybe years to do that and save money for themselves. But if now you've taken that step, it's all about understanding that. Talk to a broker, or talk to a banker who understands your numbers, understand your borrowing capacities. So now you know what your maximum price can be based on the savings you've got, right? That is the first element, because unless your finance is sorted, there's no way you can move forward, right? Now, you might have an idea of area you want to live in, but that necessarily doesn't mean that's the right area for you to buy in. So therefore, I think doing your due diligence around the area, what exactly are you looking for your home? For most people, first home buyers, they're trying to get their foot in the door. Not necessarily that is their dream home that they first buy, right? So, and it doesn't have to be your dream home. So I would say key tips would be is to don't over-engineer the whole space, right? Just get yourself into a property which you can call yours, whether it's an investment or for you to live in, because that's more important than actually getting it perfect, right? Second, I would say, if you're confused about the type of properties to buy and so forth, there's help available with buyer agents are new. Every day there's new ones cropping up. So go with someone whom you trust with, because they can help you guide you through the process. A lot of brokers are also providing that support. So there's help available. Ask for help. Don't try to do it on your own. And third, try not to get emotional too much with property. It can get, you know, when you see brand new properties, sparkling properties, it can get very emotional and you were like, okay, I want to buy that, and it starts to take you in the wrong direction. Try to be pragmatic. And I think nowadays millennials and even Gen Zs, they're very smart. They're very switched on. I like them. I like their thinking. Some of them have got really good focus. They even know things better than I knew when I was in my 20s, like what I want to achieve and set my goals in the right way, because they're super good. I've seen people come up with so much clarity that we never had when I was young, for example, right? So I think if you have those things, all you need is to get yourself in an environment that is filled with people who have that experience around property and move around in the circles that are actually property related, that can not only amplify your situation, but can help you, guide you, support you, educate you before you take that step of buying property. But don't wait for too long. Because I do believe with interest rates coming down now, there's an opportunity in the market and people should be able to look at the right opportunities, assess your risk appetite and your financials and make the move.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. And thank you for breaking that down for us. That was really digestible. And I think that a lot of people that are listening can take heart knowing that, yeah, there are people out there that can help you, that will guide you along the way. And taking that first step is the most important key. It's such a space that has so much unknown, but when you fill those gaps with knowledge, that is going to be what sets you apart from other people that are also looking for property, and it will help so much. I know for me, definitely, the more people I talk to that are in property, the more it educates me and it kind of has busted a lot of myths as well. So I think that's really, really key and important.
Yeah. One of the key examples I'll give you, we had a client from South Australia and he was just 22 years old. And when he came to understand our services, we asked him his question, what are your goals? And all he said is that by the 30, I want to actually retire. I'm like, what? In 8 years, you want to retire? And he was a nurse. And he said, I mean, he made good coin for his age, but he said, I can travel a little bit more. I can increase my income and so forth. I've already bought one property. I've just settled 5 days ago as an investment. But now I want to use the professional services to be able to help me buy other properties and build this portfolio fast. I said, what happened to, you know, getting married and all the sort of thing, getting your life partner and so on? I said, oh, that can all wait, because I want to first get myself into financial freedom. And then we talk about getting married after 30. I'm like, what? This guy's fully switched on. And you can see the clarity is huge out there, right? And so switched on in the actions that the property has just settled. And in 5 days, you're talking to a buyer's agent, buying another property. And that savings that people have been doing and taking years to build that, they're putting to use in the right place at the right time and making things work, right? All you need is someone who can just make it happen faster for you.
Yeah, it sounds like momentum definitely builds once you have tapped into your first property, because obviously there's equity as well, right? So as your investment is growing, that's more opportunity for you to invest in your next property. And that's a really great opportunity to jump into. I'm guessing I don't know much about property in other countries, but you know, I'm guessing that that is an advantage that people can grab hold of and really leverage that so that they can spend their time doing things that they are passionate about.
Yes, the confidence just shoots up, you know, once you start to hold some investments or some properties to your name. And buying it in the right entity is also important. It doesn't have to be the name, but just that ownership definitely gives you a lot more confidence to take higher risks and then position yourself very well and early on to be able to get into that wealth building and build that generational wealth for your family.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. Before we wrap up, I wanted to find out, what trends are you seeing right now, apart from, you know, we've already talked about interest rates, but is there anything else that buyers, investors, or even first home property purchasers should pay attention to at the moment?
Yeah, I think the market's a little bit convoluted right now, and you have to be very, if it's for investment, you need to make sure that you're choosing the areas the right way. Just because your friend bought something 6 months ago in that area and you're doing that now by yourself doesn't mean that area is still good enough to buy, because markets have moved quite significantly over the last 3 years. And we've been in a very volatile environment over the last 7 years, I would say, since I actually started the business, because we've had, you know, COVID and, you know, after COVID, and then interest rates have gone up and they're coming down. So this actually changes a lot of the situation with how properties move and how suburbs move and how things change. So what's happened 6 months ago in a suburb doesn't mean now it's the right time to enter into it. So do your research. That's really important, because that's always going to keep changing and moving. It is a moving part. It's not that what you're thinking is probably right by yourself, unless you've got the research backing you up. That's one. For home buyers, there are some good news that we've just sort of heard, that the government has now extended their grant options right now at the federal level. So you can now, there's unlimited spots to be able to get into with only 5% deposit. So I think people who have been thinking for a while, whilst there's no LMI to pay, there's no lender's mortgage insurance, you should be able to get onto that 5% deal that's going on. And that basically means that, because there's no limit, anyone should be able to eligible. And I don't think there's also income test to that at all. Anyone who can buy a property to a certain level can actually achieve that. And even the thresholds for property prices have shifted and have gone far better now to qualify for that type of grant. So I think you don't need 20% anymore. It's actually even with 5% and government guarantees, you are able to secure a home as well. So look around, search around, and there's plenty of things happening. It is in the best interest of the government and people to be able to have more homes. We have more demand than supply in the right areas. But if you look hard, you should be able to find right opportunities for yourself.
Wow, that must be a huge saving. For anyone that's listening, lender's mortgage insurance is the insurance that the buyer actually needs to pay to protect the borrower if they are lending you more than 20%, I believe. Hopefully that'll be explained out right. So you're saying that now LMI, lender's mortgage insurance, isn't necessary for buyers to take out if it's under 20%?
Yeah, so from 1st of October 25, the scheme was already existing, but there was limits to how many spots can be offered. But that now limit has been removed. So there's no place limit. So all Australian first home buyers who have saved 5% deposit can apply. There's no income cap. So essentially, first home buyers with higher incomes can also get that scheme. And even the property price caps have changed as well. So to, just to give you an idea, like, I mean, if you're talking, say, New South Wales, capital city, you know, the current cap was 900K. Now that's gone to 1.5 million. So you should still be able to get into a property for 1.5 million with only 5%, for example, right? Victoria capital was $800,000, but that's now changed to $950,000. So that's gone up. Queensland was 700, and now that's gone up to $1 million, for example. So forth. So every state, they have changed the property price caps effective from 1st of October 2025, which means that you don't have to cringe in with a lower property price if it's not the right area for you. They have, the governments have acknowledged that the prices have gone up quite significantly in the last 3 years. And this change is quite welcome because people who have the 5% to buy up to $1 million properties can now do so, which was not possible earlier in many states.
That is fantastic news. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. That update is great news. So 1st of October, so that's definitely something I guess a lot of people are looking forward to with that scheme.
Yes, and it's called the Home Guarantee Scheme, and it is available through all 30 participating lenders across Australia. So if you've got the right broker or a banker that you can talk to, I'm sure they'll be able to talk to you about the scheme and help you, you know, get into that position and see how they can secure you and go through the eligibility criteria to make sure that, you know, you're able to get into that position as well.
Wonderful. I just want to pivot back to your business and just find out, in terms of your future vision, being in the property industry and being a business owner, where do you see yourself heading in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, that's a great question. Look, I'm quite visionary when it comes to businesses and investments. So we're looking at a very aggressive plan at Find My Real Estate of going up to 5,200 member team. We're at the moment at 15 people and we want to get to 5,200. So we're coming up with something which is going to help not only just investors sort of look at this position or even home buyers to take our services. We want to extend employment to people who are looking for a job or for contracting purposes, or even for that matter, if they want to run their own business, we've got opportunities available for them. So we know lots of people want to become buyer agents right now. And I've seen industry shift over the last 7 years quite significantly. When I started the business, I was struggling to talk to people about that, who I am and what I do. No one would even pay you $10,000 at that point in time to even get a buyer's agent. Like, who is a buyer's agent? We don't need a buyer agent. We do it ourselves. To now, conversations are around, why should we pay you and not another 3 buyer agents that I spoke to earlier? So this trend shift actually tells me that the industry is moving in the right direction. We need right type of buyer agents in the market, the right qualified people with right experience. And unfortunately, many of them are not operating the right way. The professionalism is not there. People don't know the legalities around it. So we are trying to open this up to people who really want that to become a buyer agent as a career. We are offering opportunities for people out there. Not only it's rewarding, but it is very fulfilling to help someone. So whether you want a job, contracting, or even be in a business for yourself, we've got opportunities for people in Find My Real Estate because we've got a vision to carry this nationally and actually involve as many as right people that we can and grow the business.
Wow. And I'm guessing that that comes also with training as well, so that you can,
of course,
train them
a lot of training support. 100%. Look, there is a licensing requirement. It's the same license as a real estate agent at the moment. So, but there is a compliance to be met. But after that, once you're inside the door, the whole training process, whatever happens, we strengthen you up. We've got recently someone who was running their own buyer agent business for 6 months. Obviously, when you're new face in the industry, it's always difficult to crack the ice. But then when you actually talk to and you be part of a bigger group brand, then your position strengthens automatically. So the new person who joined us, she tried to now, it's been a month for her, and she's seeing a significant difference in what we do and what she was doing. And ultimately, it's also helping her getting through her business and doing things the right way through Find My Real Estate. So I think we have seen this over the last 3 years. We built a lot of people in the business. Some left. They started their own business, but they are at least now confidently working in their own space. So I think we are becoming a platform where we're not only educating the end people or clients, but people who are part of the journey are also getting educated and strengthening their position as buyer agents. And we feel super proud about creating new entrepreneurs in the business.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that opportunity on our show. For anyone that's listening, if working in real estate as whether an agent or a buyer's advocate, or I'm guessing vendor advocate as well, then definitely check out Find My Real Estate and connect with Anil Bhav as well. He's a CEO and he's someone that is obviously very passionate about not just property, but people and helping others to succeed.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Anil, I'd love to wrap this up with one question, which is if you could leave the listeners with one piece of advice or wisdom, whether it's about business or property or mindset, what would it be?
Get educated, stop listening to media. And make the right decisions.
Yes, love it. Thank you so much, Anil Bhav. It's been so lovely to speak with you today and to discuss all things property and a bit of business and mindset as well. I've learned a lot from this conversation and I'm really looking forward to hearing what the listeners have to say. And for those that are listening, if you enjoyed this show, if you gained value, make sure to leave a comment. Make sure to share this with your friends and your family and anyone that is looking into buying their next real estate. And don't forget as well to reach out to Anil Bhav, whether it's on LinkedIn or other social media platforms. I will link them all in the show notes. And Anil Bhav, I look forward to having you on the show again. And thank you so much for your time and your wisdom today.
Thank you, Phoebe. Thank you so much for having me here. It was lovely to chat with you and share my wisdom with a few more people that are listening to this today. And if I can inspire 10 more people in the next 5 days, I think I meet my aspiration to keep doing this, what I do every day.
Love it. Thank you so much. It's been so great to have you on.
Likewise. Thank you. Take care.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.